This is the Power Podcast. My name is Sarah of Underground Crowds. We hit Bible topics,
smash book studies,
punch out some songs here and there,
and light up
His Word to strengthen our souls. Thanks for listening. All right, we're continuing today in Jonah. My husband's on the phone. It's his birthday, so you might hear him talking in the background. We're going to talk today about a contrast of agendas again between Jonah and the Lord. And we've been going through how there's a message that God is actively, even through natural revelation, giving this world. And then we have the task as Christians to get on board with this, his plans that he has every day to point people to himself, to save people from their sin, to show them the truth that he has sent his son. We're celebrating Passover today. In this day, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was killed, betrayed, slashed, for lack of a better word, mocked, ridiculed. But the thing that was most important in all of that was the fact that he took on shame and our sin as someone who knew no sin. And so the most difficult thing for him in all of that, I think, you know, what the trial that he puts people, you know, believers through, and I feel like I've, you know, gone through a lot, but I can still look at that Passion Week and those last days. And then this, the end, Friday, Passover, and think to myself, whatever I've gone through, he's only requiring a fraction of what he had gone through. All the stuff that we go through, all the struggle that we've had in the last year, all the pain, death, I mean, we're surrounded by it. And scripture says that as Christians, we take on this cross, we die to ourselves and we follow. And we can be assured that no matter what we went through, go through, endured, experienced, Jesus has gone first. He's absolutely gone first. And so in that context, we're going to talk about Jonah and basically relinquishing a right to ourselves as this, probably not final thought, but as a key factor in letting go of discouragement and depression and these cyclical thought processes that we get in. So let's pray. Lord, I pray that as we're studying Jonah, he seemed to cycle back so easily to the pain that was inflicted upon him and what he understood to be differences between himself and the Ninevites. Even after going through sitting in the whale for 3 days, even after getting cast out into sea, even after being confronted by these fishermen or sailors or merchants, that we are so prone to cycle back, cycle back, cycle back to our pain. And we're told not to be bitter, and that's all well and good. But we don't realize often that this has been a lifestyle. So we know enough not to get mad at our neighbor who just did something to us. But we're often not aware of something that has been a part of our life for so long. And I pray that you'll reveal that to us today and help us to break these cycles. There is a plan that we can be a part of, or there's our plan. And our plan ends up under a dead tree on the hill, waiting for somebody else to, waiting for our enemy to go. Stalemate. No progress. Consumed with our pain. And stubborn in it. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read these last two chapters, because I'm already stepping on my toes. Might as well. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. I want you to, this is Jonah 3. I want you to circle, if you do, write in your Bible, the second time. The second time. What did he do the first time? He took off. The word is going forward. And he doesn't need you and he doesn't need me. But in this case, God is determined. And not all of us are going to cast into the sea and then swallowed by a fish. But in this, we are given this story for good, solid reason. God is doing something. And when we do not get on board, we are doing nothing. That is what we should leave with today. Oh, we may be busy. We may be filling up our bank accounts. We may be driving our kids here and there and everywhere. We may be cooking up a storm. We may be this, that, the other. But when we're not on board with what God's doing, it might as well be nothing. And we're the second time saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation. We talked about everyone needs a proclamation. Everyone looks for declaration. We think that, you know, because we're just weirdos, that we have to go listen to a sermon on Sunday. No, everybody's looking for the next sermon. Where do they find it? They find it on their radios. They find it on their TV sets. It comes through places like CNN and Fox News. Or their favorite newspaper. We are all looking for a declaration. We're all looking for something that props us up normally, or props up our ideas. Something that we can align to. Everyone is looking for the next proclamation, the next declaration. Proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. It was a turn or burn message. It was no flowers added to this. No introduction, no nice story to go along with it, no nothing. Turn or burn was his message. You don't get the idea that his heart is in it, but he gave the message. I mean, which, you know, we can go on a rabbit trail on that, but we're not going to. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God. You know what that says to me is that God can use anything, anyone, at any time he wants. That shouldn't make us passive. That should make us excited. If we have the humility to go along with this thing, which is what it takes. We would be excited about the fact that God could use even a housewife. God can use that half pot of oil. God can use a 12-year-old. God can use an elderly lady. God can use you who think you have no access to anything. You've been cut off from everyone. Yes. Yes, he used a stinky old man who just got spit up onto the sand, who did not practice a message, heard what he needed to tell the Ninevites, added no song and dance to it, walked one day, I'm not saying have this attitude, walked one day into the city and just said a sentence. Imagine what he can do with you. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. I mean, when it hit, it hit. This is miraculous. I don't think we should be applauding Jonah here. His message was awful. God wanted to do something, and he did. We should be turning our gaze to the God who has plans. Plans. Hopes. Futures in mind for the ones that he created. He's the all-star here. The key, the only player we need to be worried about. When he shoots, he scores. And he's happy to use us. That's amazing. The word reached the king of Nineveh. He rose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation and said, in Nineveh, by the decree, proclamation decreed. I think if you went through this, and you marked these words, it might be meaningful to you. And the king and his nobles did not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. And let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. Now that's a better message than Jonas. Who do we have to thank for that? It's not Jonah. Jonah didn't call unto the king to be his little disciple and teach him all these things. No, Jonah half-heartedly walks into a city, says, turn or burn, And the king gives the message. That's amazing. When God saw their deeds and that they turned from their wicked way, and God relented, then God relented concerning the calamity which he declared, again, another one, he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But it greatly displeased Jonah. No surprise here, judging by the sermon. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. Jonah circles back. Heard what God wanted him to do. Knew what God was capable of. Took off to Tarshish anyway. Knows exactly why the storm came up. Asked to get thrown into the sea. Is swallowed by a fish. I believe he genuinely repented. But that's the funny thing about pain. Teenager, Sarah. It's deep. We can be obeying. We can be going to church. We can have really serious strife with our parents. Serious strife with our enemy, really. But that's the thing about pain. It's deeper than that. This pain has a capability of keeping us at odds with God's word going forward. That's why it's dangerous. That's why it needs to be addressed. That's why we need to repent of our bitterness. It can have catastrophic consequences, and thereby many be defiled. And in this case, people of Nineveh, yeah, a whole town he was defiling, in a sense. A whole city he wanted to see destroyed. He circled back to that familiar, to what he's always, what he had always had. They were cruel to him and his people, probably his whole life. It had always been there. This is how permeating pain can be. It becomes woven into the fabric of our existence, and we don't see it. And we will not get it. We come to the end of Jonah. What's the takeaway? What's the big takeaway? What do we take away from the end of Jonah? We'll get there. He did not get it. Even the end of VeggieTales. Jonah missed the point. Jonah missed the point. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country?" Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. I know exactly what you're going to do. It's me and it's them. And that's how it's staying. It's me against them, and I'm not moving. Didn't I know you were going to pull down this wall? Didn't I know you were going to do that? Didn't I know that you were going to address this bitterness in my life? Didn't I know this? So I pushed it back and I ran to Tarshish. Adios, this is not happening on my watch. For I knew that you are gracious and compassionate, God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me. That's how difficult sometimes it is to give up the pain. Rather die. It's so grievous. It's so unjust. The person was so merciless. It became so much a part of you. And God poking at it, asking you to give it up, is a fate worse than dying? It seems like a fate worse than dying. And it's a flat no. It's a 500 miles the other direction, flat no. But here's what we're missing out on. God. Don't distance yourself from his loving kindness. Don't distance yourself from his compassion. Don't distance yourself from who he is. Don't put yourself at odds against that. Lean in when you don't understand. Press on when it's too difficult. Trust him when you feel poked and prodded and you would just wish people... Back off. I don't want to miss out on what God's doing. I don't want to come to the end of my life and not have gotten it. I don't want to put myself at odds of the very thing that I need. Compassion, loving kindness, slow to anger. Therefore now, Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better for me than life. The Lord said, do you have a good reason to be angry? I don't know, but Yeah? Okay, no. I mean, how would you answer that? Yes, definitely. I have a good reason to be angry. Long term. I was robbed of so many things. But when I look at you, things change. Then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. And there he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So the Lord appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be shade over his head, to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. Jonah's a self-soother. Jonah is seeking comfort other than the Lord. I would guess he doesn't trust the Lord because he thinks the Lord has looked over his pain. And with the Lord asking him about his anger, he's got to face it. Right? And it's not that God doesn't care that you've been locked up and away from all that you've known, that you've been robbed of your senior year, or whatever it is, job opportunity. You spent your first year of college, away from college, whatever it is. It's not that God doesn't see this. He's asking you, well, right, you have to be angry. I got plenty of reasons. Yeah? But God appointed a worm when the dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant and it withered. God's not playing with Jonah. God is prodding Jonah. You're not being played with right now. God's not delighting in the fact that you missed out on prom. It's not a delight. It's not a sociopath. But he might be prodding you. Maybe there needs to be an adjustment. Maybe you're looking for plants to cover you. Hugging your plant. Petting your plant. These small comforts have a way of becoming big little g gods without us even realizing. God's just prodding. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head. Totally in control. He is totally in control of your life. Right? Totally in control. Well, it doesn't seem right. Maybe what you're taking as direct offense is prodding. God is calling you onto something bigger than yourself. And now we get to that. What is bigger than Jonah? What is bigger than his pain? What is bigger than his circling back over and over again? What is bigger than his little plant that he loved? What is bigger? Sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." Then God said to Jonah, "Do you have good reason to be angry?" Again, about the plant. He said, "I have good reason to be angry, even to death." Then the Lord said, "You had compassion on the plant. I saw it. You had compassion on the plant, which you did not work, which did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. You put all your hope in a plant that died in a day. Put all your compassion there. Put all your hope into walking across the stage. I mean, it's no small thing, okay? In front of everybody. Put all your hope there. All of it? Should I not have compassion on Nineveh? The great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons. Priorities, Jonah. Priorities. Who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many animals. The end. That's the end of the book. I have an agenda. And you're not with me, Jonah. You don't get it. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than our thing. Small thing. It's bigger than our comfortable house plants. It's bigger. It's bigger. But these things are taking our hearts far, far away. And we may not have a hill to sit on to watch people die, but that's what we're acting like. It's okay that the whole world goes up in flames if I'm not getting my way. If this isn't settled right now, right, been here many times. If this isn't settled right here, right now, if I don't get my way, the whole world could go up, I don't care. Now maybe I'm just speaking to me. It's what we act like. It's what we act like. Do we have a right to be angry? Maybe. He didn't rebuke him. Just asked him. And presented an alternative agenda to our small, small, small world. Peace out. Again, thanks for listening. Catch the next part of this series, usually Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. You can also find Underground Crowds on Twitter, Patreon, Bandcamp, or undergroundcrowds.com.